good morning. This is John Beener, and you're listening to the Marketplace Witness Show. We're very excited to have Glenn Henderson as our guest today. He has an amazing, life-changing story of being incredibly successful in business and sometimes not, but learning the most from what God's plan for his life has been and his family and all the people he's impacted throughout his life. So we're very excited to have him here. Glenn is also the author and a coach today for many businesses and organizations and ministries. His book is called Treasures of Darkness. That's an inspiring title. Glenn, thanks for being with us. Thanks for joining us today.
It's good being here. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. Well, tell us about those early years, you know, growing up and what area of the country you grew up in. What your parents were like, and did you have that good church experience? Were you a perfect Christian when you were a kid, you know, come to the Lord in a five years old or something like that?
Well, I grew up in Chicago, and not promoting the book Treasures of Darkness, but it's very, very apropos, and I mentioned it for a number of reasons.
Sure.
Because I grew up in Chicago, family of six, didn't realize we were poor. It was only to afterwards. So family of, I have three older brothers and two younger sisters,
okay.
And so I'm the youngest of the boys.
No kidding.
And so we had my school years were very, very difficult as I reflect upon them, and extraordinary. And as I mentioned, we were poor, and I didn't realize it at that time.
Right.
But we would go to the school, for example, and all of us would have basically the same clothes on, and so kids would make fun of us. And,
oh, okay.
And plus I struggled just all of the academics of school, and I can recall many times my parents had to come, you know, and speak to the principal. It was very not good situations.
All right. development lessons. Okay.
Well, it was not good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, because people ask me today about where did I get all my business skills from, and did I come from a family that was entrepreneurial, and that. I originally would say no, but then when I look back, and this was part of, once again, the Church of the Doctors, it was absolutely because my mother used to make clothes for us, and that's entrepreneurial,
yeah,
as it
yes,
were.
She had her own business at home.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And we would go out to, we couldn't afford, you know, the traditional eating, so we actually planted food, and we went out to the field, and we picked your food that we ate, and we canned food and all. So when I really, I didn't get it then, and I probably didn't get it much after then, but I look back and I say, yeah, my parents, frankly, perhaps by default, did have a lot of the entrepreneurial, they certainly, I think, when I really examine it, yes, a lot of those character attributes that I have today, and being the last boy out of the family, I mean, I iron clothes, I fold clothes, I do everything.
Yeah, right.
So those domestic type things that a lot of folks perhaps do not navigate to was sort of inbred in me,
uh-huh.
And they serve me well today.
That's great, yeah.
Now, as it relates to the faith, I do recall we would go to, as we call it today, I say worship service, but back then and even now we say we go to church.
Yeah.
But I taught Sunday school, I was teaching choir, I was leading, but I didn't know Jesus. And it was, now I didn't know how lost, even lost in the church, if that's possible, but I was certainly lost in the church building. And, but I did grow up around, for lack of better words, religion. And I could tell a person how to crack open the Bible, and it'll put you at Psalms, and if you crack it open in a quarter, where it'll land you, and all those other wonderful things. But as far as a personal relationship with Christ, that really didn't come until much later on in our lives.
Okay, all right. Okay, so anyway, you got through, I guess, early childhood into high school. Were you involved in athletics and things like that? You get involved in?
Not really much in athletics. I was really, as I said, I struggled mightily in school, and I just barely made it out of to get my high school diploma. And it was just the early years of life, as far as I reflect upon it, was very traumatic, both at home and then also in school. And once again, didn't really realize that the struggle that we had. Mm-hmm. My mother never worked. My dad was the only one that worked, and so just taking care of six kids was, I'm sure, took a Herculean effort, and just all of the dynamics that that, and then staying out of trouble. The good news is all of us. Nobody's been to jail. We grew up on the south side of Chicago, and it was a rough go at it.
Well, I mean, what did your dad do then? Was he an entrepreneur?
No, Dad, who's since passed. He's passed in 2001, but he was actually at one point in time he was in the Air Force, and then so he did, I believe, 10 years there, and then he just took a traditional job. And so he was in manufacturing.
Okay, all right, well, good. All right. So from high school, where'd you go next?
So the big move for me was in high school. So graduated, couldn't wait to get,
couldn't wait to get out.
Well, that and away from home, because home was just traumatic for me. Just all of the dynamics there, and so. I took my, I've only had two jobs in my life. The first one was with R.R. Donnelly, and the other one was at Sears in Chicago. And so I'm just working, doing whatever I do in the mailroom. And I get this guy who said that I was the only person that looked like they had common sense. That that's good or bad. That's bad for the business. But in any event, he offered me a position. He said he was going on vacation, and he offered me a position as a driver to cover his route while he was going on vacation.
Oh, really?
And so I took this position as a driver, and he was going to be gone for 2 weeks, I think it was, and I remember this very succinctly, and it was paying like $600 a week. That was a big number back then.
That's pretty good.
Especially for somebody right out of high school. And so I did this position for 2 weeks, and they said it was tremendous when he came back. We just never had anybody that drove and was doing things as precision and quickly as I was able to do it. And I remember I had no barometer. I didn't know what I was doing in terms of really understanding, but I was at O'Hare Airport, and they told me to go to TWA. So I'm riding around the airport probably for an hour looking for TWA until I finally saw a Trans World Airlines. It's like, oh, that's TWA. It was just simple things such as I just had no real business barometer.
Just say, here's a truck, drive these places.
Here's a route. And but that worked out very well. And that was the beginning of my career as a driver for a company way back then. And what happened from there is I would go out. And this is where I refer to, I guess I learned some things from being at home that I didn't know that I learned. But people started saying that they had noticing that the business on my route was beginning to pick up. And what I was doing is everywhere I went and started speaking to customers, I would tell them, why not do business with us? So, and this was maybe just
sales too.
I was in sales, right? And this was just a couple of years after Federal Express had started, and so there would be a Federal Express box there, and they, at that point in time, they would have limitations. They couldn't carry X amount of weight, and so I'm out selling, and they say, wow, your route's picked up. So they moved me from a driver to sales, and then that worked out well, and then from sales, I went into management and operations, and then after that, I got this opportunity. They said, well, you just been fantastic in Chicago. Probably did this for maybe 2 years, and I worked in every area of the business, and then they offered me a franchise in St. Louis. And so all starting off as a driver, having left from our R.R. Donnelly Sears, and then I got an opportunity to leave Chicago and go to St. Louis.
How about that?
So that was...
And you're just a single young guy at the time, then?
Single guy. I had met my one-day-to-be wife that I'm doing weights up in the gym room, that is just something I was just doing. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I opened my eyes, and there she was, as the story goes. And I spoke to her, and I said, you might end up hurting yourself. And so we just talked, and the unique and marvelous thing about my wife of now 32 years, I think
it is. How about that, fantastic.
That we were friends for a number of years. And when I say friends, I mean friends.
You lifted weights a lot together, huh?
Well, we did stuff. But the interesting thing is a true story. Never touched her. She would tell you. Okay. And I've spent nights at her house, but I think it was 4 or 5 years.
Really?
That before we even kissed, but I just never touched her.
Wow.
Because frankly, I really didn't think I was good enough for her. And so I was actually, and she'll tell you if she was here, that I was actually introducing her to other people, thinking, well, you know, you want to meet this person, maybe you go date with them.
Great friends,
I guess.
Yeah.
It wasn't the smartest move, but it worked out. It worked out.
God had a plan anyway, right?
But the reason why that's somewhat relevant is I recall that I was given the opportunity to move to St. Louis to take this franchise. So I asked Regina, my best friend, what do you think? And she said, you ought to go to take this position in St. Louis.
Okay.
And she laughed out because I told her it was the worst day of my life, because here, it broke my heart. She's telling me you should leave.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But innately, when I talk to other people even now today, and they say, well, you're this great entrepreneur, I tell them, no, the real entrepreneur is Regina, because were it not for her, we wouldn't even be where we are today. She actually has birthed, I think, two or three occasions along the way, many. She's been the one, we all say that behind every so-called great man or a man is a great woman, but she truly has been the remarkable gift. Now, I didn't realize it as much. But she's been the remarkable move of God. It's just no doubt in my mind that being introduced to Christ, which was 82, when the two of us got saved together, but then prior to that, meeting her, those were the two
great,
most significant.
Yeah,
oh no, there's
great.
No doubt about it. No
that's
doubt about it.
So for 2 years, you were with this company, got the franchise for St. Louis, moved there because Regina told you you needed to.
Yep.
I encouraged you anyway to get going on your own. And so how long did the franchise, did you work that, and how long did that go? And
so what happened with our, I moved to St. Louis, and we took the, what's called AdCom Trust, Advertising Communications, and we took that franchise from the number 10, there was 10 of them at that point in time, and we took it from the number 10 to the number 1 in 1 year. It grew dramatically and very fast. But
that was brand new, you said.
We started, there was no presence there, and I would get up in the morning. This is a logistics type business, pick up and delivery business, and so what I would do is get up in the morning and make deliveries from the night following. So you make all your deliveries. Then I go home, put on a suit, and then make my sales calls, and then go back home, and then get back into my driver's uniform and make my pickups in the evening.
How
and so
that?
I had this rhythm going on.
Wow, no kidding.
Some of our customers are so funny that we had back then. We had some fairly major customers, names that you would know. And Fortunes, City Corp, and others.
Okay.
There were headquarters used to be in Creve Corp, but they would laugh and say, "Well, we used to see you down in your car, because I used to park around the corner, so they couldn't see exactly what I had and what I was driving."
Okay.
But I started that business out, and it grew rapidly. But it was that business that it grew so fast. It was I call it the beginning of the end of the beginning. Regina eventually moved to St. Louis, and we were not married, so she moved to St. Louis, and so she helps me grow the business. And as I tell the story, one day there's a knock came on the door, and it was the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, okay.
And now Regina's background, she's a double major, Northwestern, political science and econ. So she was and remains the brains, et cetera, a detail person. Why is that important?
Yeah.
Is we're just growing business. Probably, I'm going to guess, we probably was doing just south of $1 million of business that we were able to grow to in about a year.
Wow, that's
and
fast.
It grew fast. Yeah. And the Internal Revenue Service came. It wasn't funny then, it's funny now. But they say, you owe FUTA, FICA, SUTA, and this is God honest truth. I say, who are they? I didn't even, I've never heard of FICA suit. And they say, well, you owe, I believe accurately, it was about $180,000 of taxes that we had gotten some counsel that we did not have to treat our drivers at the time as employees.
Okay.
And so we treated them as 1099, and, and the Internal Revenue Service said, no, we don't see it that way.
Yeah, okay.
And so back then, it was like 21% compound interest. And so our world went from, as I tell people, we were, the future was so bright, we were wearing sunglasses to, we were traveling around the country. This, it was just horrible. And so this is when some of the subplots, and this is before Christ still, so so this is still BC, but our we did everything we possibly could. We tried to sell our way out of it, and so we had we were coming up with different promotions and programs, which is trying to increase revenue, and we never had this the novel ideal of cutting expenses. That that was on the radar screen. Although we had a house that we bought, house with a swimming pool, and life was real good for us.
That's
as we thought during that point in time. It's in Creve Coeur, St. Louis, and so things were moving right along. But we just didn't know what we were doing. They bought some property in a wonderful place called Branson, Missouri.
That
they had told us that it's grand scheme. Now, if you for everybody who's listening, if they remember the dates, this is this would be mid-80s, so this is before. So they had given us this grand, all is going to happen. So we got that vision, and we bought a couple of acres of property in Branson, Missouri. And so what happened to us, though, is the Internal Revenue Service, with all the pressures and things that they told us they were going to bring to bear, it ultimately ended up in us selling the company to someone else that was actually working for us, which was tremendous, and then us ended up bankrupting eventually. So we had our first bankruptcy back then, but and we lost the property in Branson, and we because I probably would be sitting here today if we had that property still with everything that has occurred there. But what the point that I try and convey is that we just didn't have any barometer of character and best practices and things that you need to do if you were in trouble financially.
Right,
it was ego. We didn't want our peers, because remember, we went from the number 10 franchise to the number one. So of course we couldn't let the rest of the network and our other franchisees across the country know that we were in trouble.
Okay.
And so we hung around and hung around and hung around, and the hole got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until we just could not get out of it. And along that way, we had an opportunity to, we had endeared the corporate office because of the growth. And so they said, well, why don't you go to New York?
Well,
I was a role model on the outside.
Yeah, they didn't know the inside story, but
that's
right. They could see the gross sales and they liked the royalties or whatever you were paying them, right?
It's so true, but the so they asked me to go to New York and to help the Here I am. I'm dying. I'm dying in St. Louis. They have no idea. I mean, I'm drowning in St. Louis. And they asked me to go to New York and help the network in New York. And of course, I figured, well, I'll take that job on because it's going to generate some revenue. And I got this a little bit, not exactly synced, but it was while I was in New York, Virginia, stayed back in St. Louis, that the individual, my second in command, actually ended up manipulating and taking things over to get the company from us in St. Louis. And so I recall the days, and there were many days with tears in my eyes, the Internal Revenue Service, I remember distinctly, I was telling the Internal Revenue Service that we tithe. And the Internal Revenue Service said, we don't care that you tithe, you don't pay your bills. And that's when, that was the beginning when the Lord started speaking to me uniquely, and it says, because of you, taken out of Romans, that the Gentiles blaspheme the name of the Lord. And it was tears in my eyes. And I'm sitting there, but we tithe. We don't care about you tithe. And then the person that ended up getting our business that we ended up selling to was my number two. He used to work for a company by the name of UPS. And we went through all of the emotions of, he actually got the business for pennies on a dollar.
Yeah.
And all of the work that we had put in, and to actually give it to them, and we had to get rid of the house. And these were all of the precedents before the bankruptcy actually occurred. So it was a, a slowly, if you will, closing of all of the doors and the walls coming around us.
Right.
And we knew, we remember I said I skirted over, we weren't married, and we kind of, we grew up, quote, around the church. And I remember a couple of my pastors would say, Glenn, you're living in sin. And I said, the Bible's outdated. You can't, the Bible's antiquated, outdated. That stuff, this is, well, I guess, 1980, this, that's outdated. And so, but God had the last word.
Yeah.
And he gets the first and the last word.
Okay.
So that's kind of why.
So you went on to New York and you were helping this, the newer franchise? Or
so we went to New York and we got that franchise righted.
Okay.
It went from, I'm just picking a number, maybe we were 70% on time, and we moved it up to about 98, 99% on time.
Good.
And here was another major event that occurred in my life. And I remember, this is in some of the curriculum that I teach now. And I remember I got a call from the corporate office and they said, Glenn, you did a great job. This is incredible. You have improved our on-time performance to unbelievable numbers. And the entire network loved us. But he asked this question. He said, do you know how much it costs? And I said, I have no idea. I just been busy focusing on the improvement. And they to speed up the whole scenario, they came in and they fired me.
Really?
And it was absolutely horrible. And Regina would tell you, and most people would tell you, well, Glenn's a visionary, but when it comes to the details, he just missed the details. And I had no idea. I was so focused on, we had street drivers, bike drivers. I was just so focused on all of the
performance issues,
that I wasn't looking at the numbers. And that was... Maybe I didn't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know.
Sure. You're, I mean, you lack the knowledge. I mean, you had guts. You had survival skills that you learned as a young man. And you were a hard worker. I used to call people like that hustlers. I mean, that's not a negative term. That's a good term.
Right.
Because they do anything at any cost. They're willing to sacrifice. And that's what a good entrepreneur does. Not obviously, as you have known and teach others, you got to get back to the number still, because you got to still ultimately survive.
Or I marvel now, because now I didn't finish college. I really didn't even start. But I tell people the benefit in my regret, and I have many, but the one regret that I have as it relates to not going to college was that the benefit that you get out of it is the discipline. It's the discipline of study, the discipline of methodology, the discipline of detail. So you may not use, as we know most people, I guess,
use your college education well, but the discipline is just, that's true.
Because I had no idea of, when I say I didn't know about taxes, or for that matter, I'm just focused on execution and not all of the requirements for sustainability.
Sure, yeah.
So you're doing all this, but it's going to collapse.
Yeah.
And so any event, so the people came in and it was horrible. It was just another devastating blow in my life when I was terminated as consultant. But yet at the same time, they say, well, you know, we love you because of what you've done, but this is just not sustainable because the corporate was paying for it. So they offered me the New Jersey franchise.
Okay.
And so I moved across from Jamaica, New York to Edgewater, New Jersey. And
well, you landed on your feet again. So.
Well, so we in the story as it goes, we started the New Jersey franchise, and it took off. We did business with a company in Baskin Ridge, New Jersey, called AT&T, and it's the world headquarters.
Yeah,
and
I had
somehow this theoretical uncanny ability at my age to go out and just convince people that we can do A, B, C, D, and E. And I'm not going to say it was the favor of the Lord, because I wasn't.
Well, God,
it was his protection.
Sure.
And maybe the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. But But somehow I was able to walk into many of these fortunes and able to do business, at least in that space. And so we built the New Jersey operation up. Yeah. But don't forget the other things that were still in our background. So we still, what they didn't tell us is when we bankrupted that the Internal Revenue Service don't go away.
Okay. They still want their money,
small print. So we still, after the, I think that was a 13, after we are bankrupted and then a company was taken, we still was left with that debt. And so our life really was just a wreck. Mm. And all along the way, Regina and I would tell you that we just kept hearing that small, gentle voice, as Lord said, that you got some course corrections that need to be made here. And so the New Jersey, another major, which is, again, gets to the big major. So another major scenario that happened to us in New Jersey was, so it was just Regina and myself now in New Jersey, and I was making deliveries in New Jersey. And I went to New York, like the, almost a Chicago, growing up in Chicago, like the back of my hand. And so we're making deliveries, and we were delivering computers, and it was our business. So we actually named the business JC Air Freight, Jesus Christ. So
we said,
no, we named this, that this is just, it's got to be blessed.
Okay.
So
sure.
This is after the AdCom days, because the AdCom thing went away. And so we're just doing things on our own. And our vehicle was broken into. So Regina will be at home. She's managing all the office things. I was actually doing the deliveries. And so our vehicle was broken into. And everything, all the computer equipment, digital company equipment was stolen out of the vehicle. And it's just the two of us. And we didn't have this one thing that most people and everybody should have called insurance.
Okay.
So we said, well, this is, I mean, this is, that's it. It's just wiped us out. Now have all of the computers stolen. So we knew that we had to get a claim file with the customer, and we did. And those things and processes take some time, but believe it or not, so we're still doing what we're doing. And they said, okay, we're gonna file a claim and we figure out what we need to do here. Well, I went back into New York again, and it happened a second time.
The
vehicle got broken into
a
second time. And I called Regina up, and I'm in tears. And I said, Regina, that's it. Aside from the fact I'm just exhausted, I'm tired, but we just cannot recover from this. Mm-hmm. And it was along that way that we heard about a man named Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we were at Paramus, New Jersey, and we heard about a man that loved you. Both she and I at the same time came to know Christ when we heard
so
about
this.
So
you started to go to church and you had
We said we got to get married. We got to get this fixed.
Okay.
That actually, it was in 1983, because that's when we got married. And so we've got to, these things have got to get themselves.
Right.
So we heard about a man named Jesus, and and that just, it just changed everything for us.
Well, thanks very much for listening. Again, this is John Beaner. You've been listening to Glenn Henderson and his Rocky Road story, leaving Chicago as a young man and into St. Louis, successful off and on a rocky road in the logistics business, the product delivery business, and then to New York. And you just heard he had his car broken into. And then he heard of a man named Jesus. Next Saturday, you're going to get to listen to the rest of this show and how Glenn and his wife Regina's life was totally transformed by the Lord, as well as business booming success in Atlanta. Till next Saturday, this is John Beaner. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Marketplace Witness Show, and we're at AskWiseCounsel.com. AskWiseCounsel.com if we can help you in your business or in your life. Thanks for listening.